No one had noticed her new cat-eye glasses, bright red, with very faux diamonds spread across the rise like perfectly positioned stars. Not a single person had said a thing. All morning long. And now the other members of the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit Students Association, the FNMISA for short, were too busy arguing about their upcoming fundraiser to notice that Berlin wasn't fully present. She sat at a desk, her body oriented toward the circle, tracing a rough sketch of a pipe on the grimy surface with her finger. "But should we really be calling them Indian tacos?" Darcy asked, then promptly took a bite of her bologna sandwich. She was a year younger, Métis from Lac Ste. Anne, whereas Berlin's family was from Treaty 1 and the Red River region. Berlin had recruited Darcy for the FNMISA. It was lunchtime. They were meeting in Mr. McDonald's classroom. They used to meet in the library, but nobody was allowed to eat in the library. When Mr. McDonald's offer of space came with a co-conspiratorial wink and a reminder that he didn't enforce silly rules like no food in his space, the vote had been unanimous. Across the circle of desks, Sarah Lynn exhaled loudly. The stage-worthy exclamation ruffled her bangs. "If you're arguing for calling them Iyahe Nakoda tacos, I'll take it. For my people, for my nation. But I don't think you are. So what exactly are you arguing for? Navajo tacos or like indigenous tacos? If you say FNMI tacos, I'm going to cry. Literally. And if I cry, I'm going to F up my mascara. And if I F up my mascara, I'm going to give up on life today. Do you want to shoulder that burden, Darce?"
A bit over the top, but it fit.
If Berlin could cry, she'd probably be crying too, out of frustration. They had this discussion at least twice a semester. Once, she cared.
"Can we not?"
Vincent wasn't eating. An unopened can of Coke sat on the desk in front of him.
"It's way important to get this fundraiser going, and not important to worry about the words."
He wore his hair in braids, and was the only guy in FNMISA. His family was from the Piikani Nation. He was also the only other member who had firsthand experience with missing and murdered women. He'd been part of the national inquiry when he was a kid, telling stories about his mom. That is, he'd been the only other member with firsthand experience until 5 months ago, when Kiki disappeared, seemingly without a trace. The first week of school, she'd been alongside them in the library, skipping out on lunch, working on drafting a non-cringe-inducing land acknowledgement for the AAA hockey home games. And the next, she wasn't. They all missed Kiki. No one glanced over to the faded National Poetry Month setup on the back wall. No one needed to reread Kiki's winning poem from last year. It had been an elegy for the missing and murdered, for her mother, for all of them. Now, it read like a foretelling. Even though Berlin was unable to cry and beyond consumed with that famous pipe they'd talked about in French class last semester, she knew that this fundraiser mattered too much to be obsessing over words. The organization was local and indigenous-owned, and they needed a boost if they were going to offer their self-defense program for youth again. Darcy covered her mouth with a hand so she could keep talking and chewing. "But we didn't come to consensus, not last time, or the one before that." This was where Berlin should weigh in. Last year, when they'd had this discussion, Kiki had been wearing her go-to neon pink leg warmers, layered maximalist style against big patterns. She'd said something sharp and funny, and in such a kind way that they'd moved on. She'd gotten them thinking beyond the words. But as much as Berlin tried, she couldn't remember exactly how, and even if she could, Berlin couldn't do it like Kiki. The group fell silent. They ate, attempting not to make a mess. After all, they could lose this privilege. And skipping lunch weekly so they had time to meet around class schedules and after-school obligations was not fun. Even if Berlin wasn't hungry these days, she knew that. Sarah Lynn's older sister, Tashi, who exclusively wore the color black and was their unofficial leader, cleared her throat. "Vincent is right, yo. We're sticking with Indian tacos. We have too much to get done to have this thing up and running before March break to get stuck all up in here.